Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Mem. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins in the middle of Daf Mem. You'll notice a Mishnah toward the end of the narrower lines of the Daf. Hachoyvitz liyavimto, hare hu ke'echod min ho'achim linachlo. When the Yavam decides, when one of the brothers decides to do chalitza, to release the deceased brother's widow, he then becomes like one of the other brothers with regard to inheritance. And Rashi adds, "Hareu ke'echod lo hifsid chelkoi benichsei ochiv." Now, for those of you who are first-time listeners, we have to point out that the Yavam, the one who does marry, the brother that does marry the widow of the deceased brother, he would be entitled to the estate of his deceased brother entirely. However, in the event that one of the brothers releases her through chalitza, so then the deceased brother's estate gets divided equally amongst all the brothers, including the one that did the chalitza. V'im yesh shomav, the Mishnah goes on, if there is a father that's still alive, nechosim shel av. In the event that the one of the brothers died, leaving no children, a set of brothers plus their father, the father will inherit his son. Hakinis es yivimto zocha b'nechosim shel ochiv. The brother that does marry the deceased widow, he is entitled to the property of his deceased brother. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, benkach ubenkach im yesh shom av. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if yibum is done, but there is a father, nechosim shel av, the father, being that he is alive, he will inherit the deceased brother's estate. The Gemara asks, regarding the opening of the Mishnah, one of the brothers did chalitza. So we were told that he doesn't lose, he's considered like one of the other brothers and gets a part of the deceased brother's estate. So is that not obvious that he doesn't lose out because he had done chalitza? So in order to answer this question of pshita, the Gemara goes through two stages, and that you can see is marked off with the double underline marking and the numbers 1 and 2. Salka daito chamina. I would have thought, without the Mishnah telling me this halacha, that chalitza v'mokum yibum kaimo, that the act of chalitza, the act of releasing her through her removing his shoe, is in lieu of or instead of ibum, finishkol kulhu nichsi, and as a result of that, even doing chalitza would entitle him, the one who was chalitz, the one who participated in the chalitza, would entitle him to all of his property, all of the deceased brother's property. Komash malon, the Mishnah is telling me that the Yavam is not entitled to all of his property, but just a part of it equal to the other remaining brothers. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if the Mishnah is coming to tell me that he remains like a regular brother, and he does not get all of the deceased brother's property, then the language should have been different. Ihachi, if that is so, harehu ke'echod mino achim. This is the language that you see in the Mishnah, where it says he is like one of the brothers. The language should have been, eino elo ke'echod min ho'achim mibayale. Linguistically, it should have said that he is only like, instead of saying that he is like one of the brothers, it should have said he is only like one of the brothers. Now, the Mishnah didn't use that expression. So, just to go over this point, if the point of the Mishnah is to tell us that he remains like a regular brother and doesn't get everything, so that the point of the Mishnah is a, we'll say, a minimizing effort, so then the language should have been Eino Elo Ke'achon Ben Achim. Elo, therefore, we have to come up with a new explanation to answer the question, is the Mishnah not in fact telling us something obvious? Elo Salka Daita Chamina Hayul V'Afsida Miyibum Liknesei. Without the Mishnah, I might have thought that since the one who participated in the Chalitza, who released her, in effect, rendered her unfit to marry any of the other brothers. That is, of course, the rule that once a sister-in-law receives the Chalitza from one of the brothers, she is no longer eligible to marry any of them. So maybe he should lose out, liknesays, impose a fine, a loss, that he shouldn't get any of the deceased brother's property. Komash Malon, the Mishnah therefore tells us by saying, Harehu ke'echod min ho'achim, in fact the Mishnah is not a minimizing factor, it is increasing from what I would have thought otherwise. Im yeshom av, if there is a father, so the Mishnah says that the deceased brother's father, in effect, inherits his son. The Omamar, the Mishnah says in Masechet Bava Basra, the section that deals deals with the laws of inheritance. Av kedem l'chol yoytze yerecho. When someone dies and he has his father is still around, so the father comes before any of the other siblings of the deceased. Hakoines es yivimto, the Mishnah said, Zocha b'nechosim shel ochiv, the brother that does the act of yibum, so he inherits the deceased brother's estate, the entire estate. My taima, why is that? So the Mora cites the pasuk Yokum al Shem Ochiv Omrachmona. The Yavam takes over the name, so to speak, of his deceased brother, Varei Kom, and he did that by doing Yibum. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Vechule, Omar Ulo, Halocha K'Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda said that even when the Yavam does marry her, but there is a father, the father gets the deceased brother's properties. And Ula rules like Rabbi Yehuda. V'chein omar Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha, halocha k'Rabbi Yehuda. V'omar Ula, v'itema Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha. Ula, and some versions have Rabbi Yitzchok Nafcha saying, my time with Rabbi Yehuda, what is the reason behind his ruling? Dichtiv. The Pasuk says, v'hoya ha-bechor asher teled. Now this Pasuk is in the context of Yibum, and it refers to the Yavam as a Bechor. So we learn from this, Kibechor. Now a Bechor is a firstborn, and outside, besides the laws of Yibum, the term Bechor is more commonly associated with the laws of inheritance, that when a father dies leaving an estate, the firstborn male is entitled to twice as much as any of the other brothers. However, here we're dealing with the laws of Yibum, but the word Bechor is used. And we learn, Ma Bechor ain lo b'chaye ho'av, just like a firstborn doesn't get inheritance when the father is still alive, Av hainami, so to the Yavam, ain loy b'chaye ho'av. He does not get the property of the deceased brother as long as their father is still alive. As you can see, we have a topic heading on the side, under which we've written Deos Shonos, I Halacha K'Rabbi Yehuda. We'll see different opinions as to whether the Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. De B'mokim Av, Ein HaYavam Yoresh Es Ochiv. That when the father is still alive, so the Yavam does not inherit the deceased brother's property. These markings that we see now, the new geometric form, called the crown shape, we note are Hatzaos Chilufios, alternative approaches. So we just suggested, well, we just learned that from the word Bechor, we learn that when a father is alive, according to the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, so the deceased brother, his estate is not inherited even by the brother that did Yibum, let alone Chalitza. The Gemara continues, Ima Bechor notel pishnaim lachar misa so'av. If we're going to continue this Bechor analogy, are we going to say that just like a standard Bechor in an inheritance situation gets twice as much as any one other brother when the father dies, af hai notel pishnayim la'achar misa so'av, will a yavam be entitled to a double portion when their father dies? Now, the Yavam is not an actual firstborn by necessity, or necessarily. It just is the brother that married the widow. But since the Torah is calling him Bechor, does that mean that when their father dies, that he, the brother that did Yibum, will be entitled to a double portion? The Gemara responds, Midi Yokum al Shem Oviv Ksiv. Does the Pasuk refer to the Yavam as someone who takes over his father's name? Yokum Hashem Achiv Ksiv, V'lo Hashem Aviv. As far as inheritance is concerned, the Yavam is entitled to the deceased brother's properties, not the father's properties. There's nothing special about the Yavam vis-a-vis the father's properties. So this suggestion is overruled. Ema, another suggestion, Hecho deleko av delishko nachlo, tiskayim mitzvah zibum. Maybe what the Torah's intention is to suggest that when there is no father, when their father had passed away, and hence there's no father around to lishkos to take the nachlo, the inheritance, the estate of the deceased brother, then tiskayim mitzvah zibum, then the mitzvah zibum is applicable. However, where there is a father that is around, so that his son, the Yavam, will not be entitled to to the deceased brother's property, so lotis kai mitzvah sibum. Since the Yavam won't be inheriting that particular brother's, the deceased brother's property, so there's no mitzvah sibum to begin with. So just to say this again, I know we're sounding a little repetitive, but where there's a father on the scene, this is the more suggesting, since the Yavam will not get the property of the deceased brother, so there's no mitzvah Yibum to begin with. The Gemara says, that's not so. Midi Yibum benachlo tolo rachmona? Is it so that Yibum is dependent on his inheriting? That's not so. Yibumi miyabmi. The Torah expects him to marry the widow. V'i iko nachlo shkuli v'lo lo shokil. If there's an opportunity for him to get the brother's estate, he takes it. And if not, for example, there is a father that's still alive, lo shokil, so he doesn't get the property. Yosef Rav Chanina Kora, Kamei Durabianai. The Rav's name is Chanina Kora. Kora is part of his name, is part of maybe a title that he had. So Rav Chanina Kora was sitting in front of Rav Yanai, the Yosef Vikom, Halacha Rav Yehuda. And Rav Chanina says, Halacha follows Rav Yehuda. Omar Le, Rav Yanai says, Poik Kori Karech Libra, a play on his name, Kori Karech, means take your teaching and cast it outside. Rather, Ein Halacha Rav Yehuda. The Halacha does not follow Rav Yehuda. Toni Tano Kameid Rav Nachman. There was someone that was an expert in Tanaic sources, and he was saying over a source in the presence of Rav Nachman, and he said, Ein halacha k'Rebbe Yehuda. Omar lei. So Rav Nachman, upon hearing this, says, Elo keman, well, then according to him, is the halacha k'Rabbanan? Pshita, that's obvious. In other words, your teaching is in effect telling me something that's obvious. By saying the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda, so it's then going to by default be like the Rabbanan, and that's obvious. Yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. As far as the rules of psak are concerned, when you have an individual opinion against the majority opinion, the majority opinion wins out. Amarlei, so the individual who was reciting the source asks Rav Nachman, Ismei, should I erase it? Should I eliminate the source and toss it into the reject pile? Amarlei lo, Rav Nachman says, don't do that. At halacha asneich. Whoever taught you the source had used the term halacha. In other words, the halacha is like, and you had heard that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Umukshe uda akshilach. And the problem of an individual being the basis of halacha over the ruling of the majority was something that posed a difficulty to you, va'afchis, and as a result of that, you switched it around. Ulamai da'afchis, shapir afchis, and according to what you switched around, in fact, that's accurate. It's what that which you switched around. The Mishnah. Hacholetz li'evimto, hu asur b'krovo seha, v'hi asura b'krovov. One who does chalitza, so the man, the choletz, the brother, he is forbidden to her relatives. So that in your mind's eye, by doing chalitza, it's a type of, would be, let's say, kind of like divorcing one's wife. So if one were to divorce one's wife, so we know that he is forbidden to marry her sister. He's forbidden to marry her mother. Her relatives are usher to him. Now, the analogy we just used, don't take it literally. We just use it by way of, say, to gauge things, or a direction, a mindset. But it's what we said needs to be evaluated in actual halachic terms. That we'll have to see about more about that later. But upon releasing the Yavama, so the Yavam is now usher in to marry any of her relatives. The he asura b'krovov, and likewise she is prohibited from marrying his relatives. Who usher, and here the Mishnah mentions the women that the choletz is usher in, and Rashi says at the top, who usher kol hanoch arayas d'oraisaninu b'ishto. If it were a man divorcing his wife, so the following relatives that the Mishnah lists would be forbidden on a Torah level. The Gazrinu Rabbonan b'chalutzaso. And when it comes to a chalutza, a woman who's released through chalitza, so the rabbis imposed a rabbinic restriction. So the rabbinic restriction imposed will say reflects or parallels the Torah restriction when it comes to an actual wife divorcing. So what would the result be? So who usher be'ima uve'emimo ve'emovia? He cannot marry her mother, her mother's mother, her father's mother, ubebita, ubebasbita, and if she happened to have a child from some outside marriage, from some other source, not his deceased brother, obviously. So he would be forbidden, and her daughter, ubebasbita, basbina, her granddaughter from her, through her own daughter or through her son, ubeachoisa bizman shehi kayemes, and likewise he cannot marry her sister as long as the chalutza is alive. Vo'achin mutaran. The other brothers, though, they are not restricted in the chalutza's relatives. So that in a manner of thinking, we would not be saying that he, the brother that did the chalitza, is an emissary, is an agent of the other brothers in this sense. Because if we said that he was an agent of the other brothers, so whatever restrictions fall upon him would fall upon the other brothers. Again, this is a topic that the Gemara will comment on later. But again, what we're saying is just a way of thinking, a mindset that we're trying to develop. So that's the point of contrast. The Choletz, he is the one that must abide by these restrictions regarding her relatives, but not his brothers. Vehi Asura, the Oviv, Uvabi Oviv, Uvivno, Uvben Beno, the Ochiv, Uvben Ochiv. Likewise, the Chamutza, she's also restricted in marrying his father, the brother-in-law's grandfather, and if that brother-in-law has a son, so she, the Chalutza, cannot marry the son, Ubben Beno, neither his grandson, nor a brother, or a son of a brother. Mutar Odom the Kroivas Tzoras Chalutzaso. The Osir B'Tzoras Krovas Chalutzaso. Now there are two expressions here. One is, we say, results in something being Mutar, and the other Osir. The terms are very close in sound, but they're referring to totally different cases. So Mutar, we say, the Mishnah says, one is Mutar B'Kroivas, to marry the relative of the co-wife of the Chalutza. So you have a surviving brother that did Chalitza. That Chalutza, there happened to be a co-wife. In other words, the deceased brother was married to two women, but only one of them did the Chalitza. The other woman is the Tzora of the Chalutza. And she happens to have, let us say, a sister. So the chalut, the chaylates, the man, the survivor, the brother that did the chalitza, he can marry the relative of the co-wife of the chalitza. However, and by the way, we have a little diagram to help illustrate this on the side, where you see Mutar B'Krova Tzoras Chalutzaso. So we have, there's Reuven and Shimon are in the picture on the left-hand side of this little diagram. Shimon died, Reuven having done chalitza with one of Shimon's wives. The Tzora, you can see, is a co-wife, and she happens to have a sister, Achos Tzora. So we're saying that Reuven would be mutter to that particular Achos Tzora. The expression v'osir b'tzoras krovas chalutzaso, we have a little diagram to assist in understanding this as well. But first, the translation. The Mishnah says that one is forbidden to marry the co-wife of the relative of the one he did chalitza with. So in the case of Heter, we saw the tzara of the chalutza featured. Here, when I say that, by the way, the tzara of the chalutza was the starting point, and then we looked at her relative, the tzara's relative. Here, we're not starting off by focusing on the tzara of the chalutza, but rather the relative of the chalutza. Let's say the chalutza has a sister, and that sister is married to someone else, some outsider. You cannot marry the co-wife of the chalutza's relative. And again, we have a little diagram on the side of the Gemara, also B'tzoras Krovas Chalutzaso. So in this picture, in this diagram, we see Reuven and Leah on the right-hand side of the diagram. Shimon and Reuven were brothers. Shimon died. Reuven did Chalitza with Leah. And this Leah happens to have a sister. Her name is Rachel. Rachel is married to an outsider. We call him a Zar. And this Rachel happened to have a co-wife that we called Tzora. So we circled Reuven is usher to marry Rachel's Tzora. What's interesting here is that as far as Reuven is concerned, these two women, Rachel and Tzora, were married to some unrelated person, not in the brother scheme of things. So it's a little perplexing, if you will, or requires explanation. The Gemara will provide that as to why, in this case, Reuven cannot marry the tzora of Rachel. Of course, it goes without saying that Reuven cannot marry Rachel, that is the tzora's sister. And we already learned that a person is forbidden in marrying the relatives of the chalutza's sister. Reuven is married to, did chalitza with Leah, and Rachel is Leah's sister, hence Rachel is the chalutza's relative. And the Mishnah told us that the choletz cannot marry the relatives of the chalutza. But here, the Mishnah is going a step further. He cannot, he's restricted not only from the chalutza's relatives, but even the co-wife of the relative. Now the Gemara asks a question, and we have a topic heading on the side that we call Sheila. Ha'im gozru shniois b'chalutza olo. Did the rabbis impose the rabbinic restriction concerning second degree relatives? Those are shniois. Those are women that, from the Torah's perspective, are not forbidden to marry, but the rabbis imposed a rabbinic restriction. And of course, the topic of shniyos is something that we discussed extensively earlier in our Masechta. Did the rabbis impose the institution of shniyos with regard to the chalutza, or maybe not? The Gemara, Ibai Alaho, the question is raised, Gozru Shniyos b'chalutza olo, did the rabbis add their rabbinic list of forbidden women when it comes to standard marriages or standard Dine Erva? We say that there is a list of women that are categorized as Shniyos, second degree prohibition, meaning rabbinic level prohibition. Does this list of extended relatives apply to the chalutza as well, or maybe not? The analysis is as follows: Ve'erva de'oraisa gozru behu rabbonon, gozru rabbonon shnios. When it comes to erva de'oraisa, those are for women that are forbidden on a Torah level. So the rabbonon imposed the ruling of shnios when it comes to the shnios v'chalutza. That is shniyos, and b'chalutza lo gozru rabbonon shniyos. But in the case of chalutza, the rabbis did not impose a ruling, because the chalutza is only rabbinic to begin with. So something that's rabbinic, the prohibition of marrying the chalutza and the relatives of the chalutza that we already mentioned, that prohibition is itself only rabbinic. So to extend upon the list of relatives that are already usher, the shniyos, that might be going too far. Oy dilma lo shna, or maybe we don't make a distinction between erva d'oraisa and the case of chalutza. So just to make no mistake, the Mishnah already told us that a person is usher in the relatives of the chalutza, and the Mishnah listed off the relatives, imo via, bito bas, and achosa. Those relatives, had you been dealing with an erva d'oraisa, those relatives would have been usher mi d'oraisa. So when you're dealing with the chalutza, those relatives that are mentioned in the Mishnah are clearly forbidden. The question our Gemara is dealing with, what about the extended list of relatives that we call shniyos? Are they also imposed upon the choletz and as a restriction? As you can see, we have a triangle marking scheme, and on the side, under the Mivneh heading, the triangle is featured, and we say this, in our note, we have nisayon. These triangles represent attempts with the triangle point facing up, laharois shelo gazru, to show that they did not impose a shniyos restriction to the chalutza. The inverted triangle, laharois shegozru, is to show that they did impose a rabbinic list of shniyos with regard to the chalutza as well. So now the Gemara. Toshma, hu aser be'ima uve'em ima. We say that the person that did chalitza cannot marry the sister-in-law's mother. The sister-in-law is the widow of his deceased brother, who had left no children. So he cannot marry the mother of the chalitza, ube'ein ima, nor the mother of the mother. Ve'ilu ein ima lo katoni. The Mishnah does not tell us about a restriction with her great-grandmother. That's ein ima. The chalutz's mother has a mother. That would be the chalutz's grandmother. And ein ima would be the chalutz's great-grandmother. That's an example of a shnia, but it doesn't say in the Mishnah that the chalutz is prohibited from ein ima. So that's a simen that there's no gezera. The Gemara rejects this. Dilma hainu taima delo tani. Maybe the reason for it's not being stated is mishum de kaboi lemisni seifa, because the seifa of the Mishnah said, in contrast to the chalitz, avachin mutarin. It says his brothers are mutar in those relatives. So at this point, basically, there is possum, there is a gzeira, we can say. We can argue there is a gzeira of shnios regarding the choletz. But so why didn't the Mishnah give us an example of a shnia? So the answer to that is because the Seifa says in the brothers are muter. The itana eim eim ima, had the Mishnah spelled out the prohibition of the choletz to great-grandmother of chalutza, hava amina, o achen mutarin, Davka be'aimimo. I would have thought that the heter of his brothers is only with regard to her great grandmother. Avol be'aimimo uve'imalo, but there is no heter for his brothers to her grandmother nor mother. So, as a result of this consideration, in other words, to prevent a mistaken conclusion, aimimo was left out, but not because Aim Imo is mutter to the Choletz. Question. The Lisni Aim Imo. Why not have the Mishnah say that Aim Imo is Asur? In other words, if in truth there is a Gzera of Shnios, like you're trying to argue, so let the Mishnah do the following. Say Aim Imo is Asur. The Lisni Ho'achem Mutarin B'Kulon. And the brothers are mutter in all of them, not just Aimimo, but the other more severe relatives as well. That would have cleared up any misunderstanding. And as you can see, we dashed underlined the Kulan. That's the emphasis, that the remaining brothers would have been mutter in all of the relatives of the Chalutza. Kashia. So this point remains unresolved, remains a difficult point. In other words, if in fact there is a Gzer of Shnios, the Mishnah should have spelled out that point. And as far as any other misunderstanding is concerned, that could have been cleared up by this expression. Toshma, he asura vavav. We should point out that when the Gemara concludes a particular trend of thought with the term kashya, it doesn't mean that the Gemara reached a solid conclusion. Therefore, the Gemara continues this very discussion. Is there a gzer of shnios with regard to the chalutz or not? So we say, Toshma, he asura ba'aviv, uva'avi aviv. The chalutza is prohibited in marrying the father of the choletz and his grandfather. We have a little diagram for this point. You can see avi aviv. There is a Reuven and Shimon on the lower part of the diagram. Reuven died, and Shimon did chalitza with Reuven's wife. There's a grandfather that they have in common. His name is Yitzchak. And the Mishnah says that she is prohibited in marrying Yitzchak. Kotoni miha. The Gemara goes on to say, it however says here, Avi Aviv, that she is not allowed to marry Yitzchak. My love, mishum choletz. Is it not as a result of the choletz being considered, we'll say, being considered like having been wedded to her? The havya law, that if you view things like that, that it's as if Shimon had been wedded to the chalutza, What is Yitzchok's relationship to her then? The Havyalo Kalas Benoi. She would be categorized as the daughter-in-law of his son. In other words, his son's daughter-in-law. Yaakov's son, in this case we're going to say Shimon, was married to a woman. So Yaakov to the Isha, that's his daughter-in-law. As far as Yitzchok is concerned, it's his son's daughter-in-law. Now, Kalas Beno is an example of a Shnia. So we see here that the reason, according to this Havamina, that Yitzchok is also in the Isha, in our diagram, because they impose a Xerif Shnios with regard to the Choletz. The one says, no, the prohibition of Yitzchok to the Isha isn't through Shimon, but rather because she was a real, not an imagined Kalas Beno, but a real Kalas Beno. Mishnah means the deceased one, Reuven in this case. So let's read that expression again. The Gemara says, lo, you cannot conclude from here that they made a Gzera of Shnios with regard to the Choletz, but rather the prohibition of Avi Aviv is Mishum Mishnah because of Reuven himself. The Havyalah, the Isha, Reuven's wife, was to Yitzchok a real Kalas Beno. And so we know that by regular, I'll say, relatives, so there are Shnios, but we don't see any evidence here that when it comes to a Choletz, the Gzera of Shnios was imposed. We try again. Toshma Uven Beno. We have a diagram illustrating this as well. And here, the Isha, instead of being from the younger generation, she's from the early generation. And what do we see in our diagram? We see Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven died. Shimon did chalitza with the woman, with the widow of Reuven. And now we're saying that Shimon's grandson cannot marry Reuven's widow. So, my love, Mishum Choletz. Is it not so that the restriction between the Ben Beno and the Isha is because of the Choletz? The Havya law, if she is in your mind's eye, Eishes Avi Aviv. In other words, from the perspective of Ben Beno, she is the wife of his grandfather. Now, wife of grandfather, that's Eishes Avi Aviv, is a Shnia. So that if the prohibition between Ben, Beno, and Isha in that picture is a restriction that originates through Shimon, we're then looking at the Isha as if she had been married and now Chalitza, which was similar to divorce. And the conclusion can be reached that there is a Gzera of Shnia by Chalitza. The Gemara rejects this. Loi. The prohibition of Isha to Ben Beno isn't a prohibition that originates from Shimon, but rather Mishum Misna. The prohibition is because of Reuven himself, Reuven that died. The Havyalah, and then what is her relationship? And the Gemara explains, what is it? Eishes, she is the wife of Achi Avi Aviv. The wife of the grandfather. The wife of Ben Beno's grandfather. The wife of the brother of Ben Beno's grandfather. The Gemara asks. And so what are we saying then? That the Isur, the prohibition, doesn't emanate from the Choletz, but it emanates from Reuven himself. The Gemara asks, but Amemar, when dealing with the topic of Shnios, he says that this is too far away, let's say, of a relative. And he allows the Ben Beno, in that case, to marry the Isha. He's Machshir, the wife of the brother of the grandfather. And here we're taught that it's Osir. It said Uben Beno is Osir. The Gemara has to resolve, therefore, Amemar's point, his heter, his leniency with regard to Eishes Achiyoviv, and the fact that a Tanaic source, that the Mishnah teaches, an Isser of Ben Beno. The Gemara answers, Amemar Muki Lo Bibar Bro Disaba. That which the Mishnah says, that Ben Beno is Usser, it's Ben Beno of the grand, of that fellow's, of the grandfather. And we'll have to explain this with greater clarity in a moment. So Amemar, again, we're reading this line again, Amemar Muki Lo, he establishes that which it says, Usser, Bibar Bro Disaba. That, for our purposes, that means the father of the dead fellow and the cholates. And we have a little diagram where the double star appears, the encircled double star. Amemar says that this Tanaic source, the Mishnah that speaks about that she is also in Ben Beno, the focus of, we'll say, the pronoun of, when it says his son, on the side where the double star that's encircled appears, you can see there is Yankiv, and he has sons Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. And Reuven dies, leaving the Isha widow, and Shimon does Chalitza. And then there's Ben Beno, and you know who that is? That's the son of Levi. So that if you are going to learn the... So now, that having been stated, it's not a case of a grandfather or brother of grand, wife of brother of grandfather, but rather, if you use this expression of Ben Beno and draw a diagram like we did, well, the Gemara asks, Ihachi hainu ochivu ben ochiv. The Mishnah then is basically repetitive. It's redundant. And we have an arrow, by the way, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. You can see that the Mishnah already spoke about Ochiv and Ben Ochiv. So if we're looking at our diagram, the Shimon having done Chalitza with the woman, the Mishnah then tells me that she is also in Ochiv and Ben Ochiv. What are you saying? You're saying that she's also in... let me say that again. If you're going to say that Beno and Ben Beno is a reference to Yankov in this picture, then you're basically repeating that which the Mishnah says, that she is Usser, the Chalutz is Usser, in marrying Levi or his son. That's and stated already in, by the terms Ochiv and Ben Ochiv. So the Gemara answers, yes, we are being repetitive. However, we're not talking about the same type of brother. Tana Ochiv min ho'av, the Kotzim Ochiv min ho'em. When we say that the Chalutza is also in the brothers of the Cholates, it's brothers from a common father, like our diagram. It could be brothers from a common mother. To repeat the last point, and just to make the point strong, as far as Amemar is concerned, the reference to Beno and Ben Beno is not a reference to anyone who is a Shnia, but rather to actual first degree type relatives. We continue with a new marking. You can see where the triangle has a shaded in tip. And essentially, it's similar to the Gemara just before, but we're going to be citing a new Tanaic source and trying to determine our question from this new Tanaic source. But as I said, the proofs themselves, as far as what kind of relatives, are going to be very similar to the discussion we have just seen. So Toshma de Toni Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya has a Tanaic source. He is one of the primary authors of Brisas. So he has a Brisa. It says, Arbo midivrei Torah, the Arbo midivrei Sofrim. There are four types of relatives that the Chalutza is forbidden to on a Torah level, and four on a rabbinic level. They are Av Ubeno, Ochiv Uben Ochiv Midivrei Torah. The father and the son, the brother and the brother's son. Those are Midivrei Torah. That means they're on a Torah level. Avi Oviv, Avi Imoi, these are grandfather, grandfather is father's father, mother's father, Ben Beno, Uben Bito, grandson from a son or grandson from through a daughter. Those are Midivrei Sofer. Those are rabbinic. Katoni Miha, it says in amongst the relatives in this list, Avi Oviv, that Avi Oviv is Osir. My lav mishum choletz. Is it not so because of the choletz? In other words, the grandfather of the choletz is osir to the chalutza. So what is this called? The havya law kalas bino. This would be an example of a shnia. And this relative, this type of relative we saw mentioned above. If you'll know, if you go back to the first wide line, we cited Avi Oviv as an example that we saw in the Mishnah. Here, it's the same person that happens to be quoted in this price. So the Gemara is starting afresh, saying, "Oh, Avi Oviv is that not forbidden to her through the Choletz? Because we're viewing in our mind the Choletz as if he had been married to the Chalutza, and now with her release." She's forbidden to his grandfather. So she is considered the daughter-in-law of the grandfather's son. Lo, the Gemara says, no, the prohibition is not through the Choletz, but Mishum, Misna, her prohibition to the grandfather is a prohibition because of her original husband, who died, the Misna, the deceased brother. And the Havilo Kalas Beno, we can say Mamish. She was literally the daughter-in-law of the son of his son. Ta Shma, Avi Imo. We saw in Rabbi Chiyos Braisa, that type of relative. The Chalutza is Osir to his mother's father. Now we say his, there's a pronoun there. Who is that? My lav mishum choletz. Is it not because of the choletz? And we have a little illustration on the side. Avi imo. So what do we see in the diagram? We see Reuven and Shimon. You can see on the lower part of that diagram, Reuven died. Shimon did chalitza with Reuven's wife. And Reuven and Shimon happen to have parents, Leah and Yaakov. And in our Gemara, we're featuring Leah's father. So Leah's father is usher to the Isha. And at this point, we're suggesting the Isser is through Shimon, the Choletz. And let's read that again in the Gemara. My lav mishum Choletz. Is it not so that the prohibition is because of the Choletz? The Havya law, she, the Isha in that picture, could be described as Kalas Bito, the daughter-in-law of his daughter. Leah is the Av is circled there. He is the grandfather of Shimon. So that the Isha is the daughter-in-law of his daughter. And if we say, like we're saying right now, that the prohibition emanates from the fact that Shimon did chalitza, that would show us that they made a gzera of shnios. No, the Gemara rejects this. Rather, mishum misna, the prohibition of Leah's father to the Isha in our diagram is through the mace himself, through Reuven himself, the Havya law, kalas bito. That was a literal kalas bito, so that's not a case of a shni. That's a case of a shnia in by an erva, not by chalutza. Toshma uven beno, and this should be familiar. We saw this above on the second wide line. But as we mentioned earlier, this is a citation from Rabbi Chiya's source. So we say that the chalutza is usher to ben beno, my love, mishum choletz. Is it not so that the prohibition is through the choletz? The havia law, she would be considered eshes avi aviv. If you view the choletz with the chalutza as if they had been married, and now he's releasing her, which is, we'll say, a quasi-divorce, so she is the wife of the fellow's father's father. And that would indicate that they made an iser of shnios with regard to chalutza. No, it doesn't indicate that. But rather, the prohibition of ben beno to her is mishum misna. It's because of the deceased himself. The havya law, she was Eshes, the wife of Achi Avi Aviv. The wife not of the grandfather, but of the brother of the grandfather. So the prohibition is once again through the deceased and not through the choleitz. So we don't see any illustration of them having made a gzer of shnios by the chalutza. The Gemara asks, "V'ho ameimar machshir ba'aishes afi avi aviv." That kind of relative, as far as ameimar is concerned, is muter. In other words, the grandson would be allowed to marry the wife of his grandfather's brother. The Gemara answers, as far as we have a problem here, that ameimar is saying something that is counter to Rabbi Chiya's Tanaic source. Ameimar mukim law, ameimar sets that up as the prohibition is mishum choletz. The prohibition is in fact because of the choletz, because somewhere goes through shnios, the chalutza. Ameimar is of the opinion that a rabbinic prohibition of shnios was instituted with regard to chalutzas. So as far as Ameimar is concerned, the choletz is viewed as having been, again in your mind's eye, having been married to the chalutza, and he's releasing her, and it in fact would be ben beno. And as we've mentioned before, ben beno is an example of a shnia with regard to the choletz. Just to refine that last point again, we're talking about the eshes avi aviv, and since we're according to Ameimar saying that the prohibition is through the choletz, then as far as Ameimar is concerned, we could conclude that they were gozer shnios with regard to the chalutza. But as far as other opinions are concerned, outside of Ameimar, the question continues. Toshma, did they make a gzer of shnios with regard to the chalutza? So we saw in Rabbi Chiya's source, Ubeven Bito. We have a little illustration. You can see there's a double star with parentheses. Ben Bito, what do we see in our illustration? Reuven and Shimon were brothers. Reuven was married to a woman, and Shimon did chalitza with her. Shimon has a grandson, Ben Bito, he's circled. That grandson, we're taught, cannot marry the Isha. And we want to say, the Gemara says, my love, mishum choletz. Is it not so that the prohibition between Ben Bito and Isha in our diagram is because of the choletz? She would be described as the wife of his mother's father. And that would indicate that they made a gzer of shnios with regard to chalutza. Lo, the prohibition in that case is not because of the deceased, is not because of the choletz Shimon, but rather because of the deceased. In our diagram, we call him Reuven. The Havila, she is, there is that Ben Bito is usher in the Isha because she is Eshes Achi Avi Imo. the wife of his grandfather's brother. The Gemara asks, that kind of relative, even by an actual erva, is not ruled, prohibited by the Rabbanan. That means in a real Eishes Achi Avi Imo, a man could marry his grandfather's his grandfather's brother's wife through having had a common mother. So if in an Erva Mamish they didn't make the Gzera, how can you say that in the case of Chalitza they would have made a Gzera? Elolav Mishum Choletz. So you're going to have to say that in the case of Ben Bito, the prohibition is through the Choletz himself, and not through the brother of the Choletz. Ushma Mino, and therefore we are able to conclude Gazru Shnios Bechalutza, Shma Mino, that a rabbinic restriction of Shnios was imposed with regard to the Chalutza. So that, once again, if we are going to look at our diagram of Ben Bito, we're saying that the wife of the deceased, who is the Chalutza, is usher to Shimon's grandson. That relationship is one of, we'll call a Shnia relative, namely Eishes Avi Imo, the wife of one's father's mother, of one's mother's father, that is. That type of relationship is a Shnia, and since we're saying that Ben Bito in our diagram cannot marry Isha, and that the Iser emanates from Shimon the Choletz, we therefore conclude that a Gzera of Shnios was made even by Chalutza. The Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Mutur Odom Bekrovas Tzoras Chalutzasoi. And on this point, Omar Rav Tuvi Bar Kisna Omar Shmuel Habo Al Tzoras Chalutza Havlad Maser. One who has intimacy with the co-wife of the Chalutza. So the child is a Maser, is illegitimate. So let's think about what happened here. He had, let's say, two brothers, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died, leaving two wives. Shimon did chalitza with one of them. If Shimon has relations with the second wife, the child born from that union would be a mamzer. My taimo. Why is that? Answer, be isura kaimo. The second wife is really the original Isor, the original prohibition that had been upon her when she was married to Reuven as an Eishes Ach, wife of brother, that remains. She is wife of brother. Omar Rav Yosef, Af Anan Nami Tnina. We have that Halacha, in other words, the Halacha taught in the name of Shmuel, is referred to or alluded to in our Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Mutar Adam Bekroivas Tzoras Chalutzasod. A man is allowed to marry the relative of the co-wife of the Chalutza. I Amris Bishlama Tzora Avroi Mishum Hochi Mutar Ba'achoysa. If you say that the Tzora remains in her original Isur, her original prohibition, and we don't say that the Chalutza served as an agent for all the co-wives, so I can understand that the Tzora is Usur, the co-wife is Osir. However, her sister, for example, her relatives will be Mutar. Eloi Amris Tzora Kechalutza Damya Amai Mutar. If, however, you say that the co-wife takes on the same status as the Chalutza, how can you be allowed to marry the sister of the Tzora? Is she not Achos Chalutzaso? Would she not be the same thing as the sister of your Chalutza? And we know that there is an Isser of Achos Chalutzaso. We saw that in our Mishnah. The relatives of the Chalutza were forbidden. So, what do we see from here? That the Chalutza is the Chalutza. But her co-wife, that remains. She's something else. She's the original Isser. And only with regard to the sister of a chalutza, the relatives of a chalutza, do we say there is prohibition, but not to the relatives of the co-wife. So from the fact that our Mishnah tells us that a person is allowed to marry the relative of the co-wife of the chalutza, we see that the co-wife herself is not considered a chalutza. Oh, Leimo Tevei Tufti Rabbi Yochanan. Well, with this in mind, then, it would appear that we have a Mishnah that refutes the position taken by Rabbi Yochanan. This is a position we saw much earlier in the Masif, the back of Daf Yud. The Omar Rabbi Yochanan said, Bein hu, bein achin, ein chayovin, loy al hachalutza kores, velo al tsorosa kores. Rabbi Yochanan says that when chalitza is done by one of the surviving brothers to one of the deceased's wives, the brother in effect serves as an agent for all the brothers, and the woman, the widow that did the chalitza, is an agent for the rest of her co-wives, and as a result of that, there is no longer kores. If they were to have intimacy with one another, they're all considered a cholutz with a chalutza, and that's not a chiyuv kores. That's not punishable by the kores penalty. But what we're saying now is that there is no agency. The chalutza is the chalutza, and the co-wife remains an iser eishes achin, not taking upon herself the title of a chalutza as well. So our Mishnah would seem to be against Rabbi Yochanan. Omar loch Rabbi Yochanan. Fitisbara. Achos chalutza do'oraisa. Is achos chalutza something that is forbidden on a Torah level? Let's take a look, by the way, in Rashi. Rashi, four lines from the bottom. Fitisbara. The ha raya de Rav Yosef. The Aisi mi masnisin, the proof that Rav Yosef is bringing, that six lines from the bottom of the Gemara that he brought to Shmuel's point from the Mishnah, is it a raya? Is it a proof to Shmuel? The chi chalutza gufo do raisa, is chalutza herself an iser do raisa? The chi aminon tzora ke chalutza, that as a result of which we would end up saying that the tzora is like a chalutza. That would result in the sister of the tzora becoming usher. We know that that's not so. We continue now in the Gemara text. V'ha'omar Reish Lakish, kan shona Rebbe. It is over here that Rebbe taught achos grusha midivrei Torah, the sister of an actual divorced wife. She is an Isur Doraisa. Achos Chalutza, the sister of a Chalutza, is Midivrei Sofrim, is itself only Osir Midrabbanan. Now we look back in the Rashi. Kan Shona Rebbe, B'mishna Zu Lomadnu Rebbe, Limadnu Rebbe, Rebbe teaches us. Achos Grusha Midivrei Torah, Lekamim Forishla, later will be explained. V'keva de Achos Chalutza Gufa de Rabbanan, since the sister of the Chalutza herself is only the Rabbanan, the Chalutza Gozer Bachosa. Regarding the Chalutza herself, so the rabbis extended the prohibition to her sister. But Sarah, Lo Gozer, but the sister of the co-wife, that far the Rabbanon wouldn't go to prevent, to create an Isor. So that as far as Shmuel's original halacha is concerned, that a person that has relations with the co-wife of the Chalutza, the Vlad, is a mamzer, that's fine and good as far as Shmuel is concerned. But to say that we see that point in the Mishnah, that is going too far. So that as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, we can't say that the Mishnah would be a refutation of Rabbi Yochanan. So as far as Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan are concerned, Rabbi Yochanan would argue with Shmuel. Shmuel says that one who has relations with the Tzor of a Chalutza, the Vlad, is a Mamzer, where Rabbi Yochanan says the co-wife was the beneficiary of the agency of the Chalutza herself, knocking that down to an Isur Derabbanan, and hence the Vlad would not be a Mamzer as far as Rabbi Yochanan is concerned. And as far as the Mishnah is concerned, where one is allowed to have relations with the sister of the Tzor of the Chalutza, Rabbi Yochanan says very simply, the Chalutza herself is only the Rabbanan. And the rabbis extended the Isser to her Tzora, that's fine, but they never extended the Isser to the sister of the Tzora. The Gemara now asks, what is the difference between the Krovas Tzoras Chalutza, so which the Mishnah said is Mutter, and the Tzoras Krovas Chalutza that the Mishnah said is Oser? My Shno Hai, Umay Shno Hai. The Gemara answers, and what we recommend is keeping the chart or the diagram in front of you, namely the top of this omid of Mem Omid Beis. We saw diagrams that illustrated the two cases of the Mishnah, and we go on now in the Gemara to show why there is a difference, why one is allowed to marry the sister of the co-wife of the Chalutza, and why one is usher to marry the co-wife of the Chalutza's sister. The Gemara answers, after we read the question, Mai Shnohai, at the top of Mem Aleph Amal Aleph, Hach di Azlo Bahado Lebei Dino Gozru Behu Rabbanon. That one, the woman who goes with her to Beis Din, so the Rabbanon imposed a restriction. Hai di lo Azlo Bahado Lebei Dino Lo Gozru Behu Rabbanon. That woman that doesn't accompany her to Beis Din, the Rabbanan did not impose a gezerah. Now, of course, we just translated the Gemara, but we didn't explain it. So now we look at the Rashi at the top. Hach de'aslo bahado lebeidino. Kishaleo choletzes. Molicha chosimo lebeis din. When a woman does chalitza, so she brings her sister with her to court. Comfort, support. V'kuleyamo lo yadi heiminai yavimto. Not everyone knows who the real Yavama is. Two sisters. One is the widow of the deceased brother. The other one is her sister. The ego de sovar de la Rachel Chalatz. And people think that the Chalitza was done with the sister. The chinosiv soras Rochel, and when the choletz eventually marries the co-wife of Rochel, the hainu soras kroivas chalutzaso, that is the co-wife of the relative of the chalutza, Amri, people will think soras chalutzaso nosiv. People think that he married the co-wife of the chalutza. It's really the co-wife of the Chalutza's sister, but they think that he's marrying the co-wife of the Chalutza. Because people will think that Rachel and her co-wife were the wives of the deceased. The Shaharei Cholatz the Rachel. Because, as again, people will think that he did Chalitza with Rachel. Simply, very simply, because Rachel had accompanied the real Chalitza to the Beis Din. Rashi continues. So what did we just explain? We explained why the co-wife of the sister of the chalutza is forbidden. And that was what the Mishnah said, Osir b'tsoras krovas chalutzaso. The Rashi now goes on, v'hai delo azlo v'adola beidino, the one that doesn't accompany her to court, kishayavoma choletzes, when the Yavoma does chalutza, ein tsarosa hayleches imo, her co-wife doesn't go with her to Beis Din. The term tzara, by the way, indicates an affliction or a pain. Co-wives are not necessarily at best of terms with one another. It's not like two sisters, which we would expect to be supportive and at best terms and comforting one another. Not so with co-wives. So when a woman goes to the Beis Din for chalitza, she doesn't have her co-wife go along with her. Hilkach kinosiv achis tzara, therefore eventually when the choletz marries the sister of the tzara, people aren't going to think, get this idea that he's marrying the sister of the chalutza. So we're not running any risk by allowing the choletz to marry the sister of the co-wife, as the Mishnah said, "Mutar adam bekrovasti," this relative or the sister of Soras Chalutzaso. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. You might want to get in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.